I'm feeling good.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the iZEM first ever podcast episode. My name is Lucas, and I'm a medical student from Brazil and the iZEM president. I'm joined by Eileen, and today our special guest, Dr. Daniel Cabrera.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alain, and I'm a Canadian medical student and ISEM, or the International Student Association of Emergency Medicine, its vice president. I'm excited for ISEM's podcast debut. To our listeners that are tuning in on Docquity, this podcast is intended for medical students and residents interested in emergency medicine. For those who haven't heard of Docquity, it's a medical social network offering continuing education. Check it out on your favorite smartphone app store. Lucas, over to you.
So Dr. Cabrera is an emergency physician at the Mayo Clinic Emergency Department, and his special interest, or I would say expertise, is graduate medical education, clinical decision-making, and medical cognition. He was recently named the new Associate Dean for Continuous Professional Development at the Mayo Clinic, and I had the pleasure of working with him at the Mayo Clinic in 2016 and 2017. And my favorite thing about working with him was his efficiency to move project forward. His wisdom and excitement about social media and emergency medicine really inspired me to get more involved with the specialty. Welcome, Dr. Cabrera.
Thank you, Len. Thank you, Lucas. I'm excited to be the first guest in the new podcast.
We're really excited to have you too. For our listeners that are not as familiar with ISEM, or the International Student Association of Emergency Medicine, ISEM was founded in 2013 by two senior medical students. The president was Larshan Perimpam, and the vice president was Ani Thi Huynh from Denmark. The intention was to create a network of international medical students in EM to promote cooperation, especially to create interest in countries where EM was a new specialty. Since then, our reach has grown to almost 150,000 students. Currently, we have executive members in Europe, Canada, and South America. Our aim is to provide a free platform that connects students interested in EM all over the world. With this, we hope to create resources and support to increase interest in EM in countries where it is just a developing specialty. Information about how to connect with ISEM will be given at the end of this podcast and is linked in the show notes. I'll turn it over to Lucas.
So today's episode is called Online Tools for Medical Students Interested in Emergency Medicine. We want to draw up on Dr. Cabrera's unique experience in social media. He's a star when it comes to social media. This episode's agenda is online platforms in emergency medicine, three things you can learn from online tools in emergency medicine, and five tips for new social media users. So to get things started, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Cabrera. Daniel, why do you think medical students who are interested in EM should start using online platforms like podcasts, Twitter, or blogs?
So I think this is a very important question. And I'm going to start answering the question a little bit to the side first. And I think this is important for all the listeners there who are starting their journey trying to learn emergency medicine and critical care and resuscitation. I would say that before going into the FOMED world, it's really, really important to have an understanding of the basics. FOMED is a great tool, it's a fantastic community, but at the same time, doesn't have a lot of curriculum built into. So what I'm saying in other way is before you start enjoying the community and enjoying the content, it's critical to have a solid base of medicine and a solid base of emergency medicine. You know, I've been out of medical school for decades, and I still remember reading Harrison's for internal medicine, and the part of Harrison's where they talk about the cardinal manifestation of disease. I still can, you know, recite many of the paragraphs of the book. Those kind of things sometimes can be boring, but in the long term are very important to build your medical knowledge and your expertise. Answering your question, Lucas, is why the students should use FOMED? And actually, the answer is not only because of the content. And not only because the capacity of a very fast knowledge translation, you know, from publication of important trial or publication of important concept to application. The main reason to use FOMED is actually the community. It's actually the other people who's like you and the other people who's not like you, but they're trying to do the same thing. And this in learning theory is called social constructivism. You learn as a function of belonging to community. And this community is the one that teaches you. You learn from your peers, you learn from your teachers, you teach other people. The community defines what is important. The community defines the curriculum. The community becomes the substrate, becomes the way that you learn. So answering to your question, the main value of FOMED is the community. And actually you are listening to a community right now. The International Society of Medical Students is basically a community to try to support each other. And both of you guys are creating this content because you're passionate about this and because you're passionate about teaching and learning. And this is how a community works.
That's very well said, Dr. Cabrera. Thank you. So I think just a couple things we can pull away from here. Number one, don't throw away your textbooks. The textbooks still have the basics, and FOMED is user-generated and may have some gaps. It's not the way to learn all medical knowledge, but FOMED can enhance your classroom or textbook learning. And number two, FOMED is about learning from the community. I could not agree more. Lucas, as another medical student interested in emergency medicine, what have you found you can take away from online platforms?
Well, so what I have found so far since I joined the FOMED world, especially blogs and Twitter, there are three main benefits to using online tools, at least in my opinion. First would be point of care resources, like checking something at the bedside or during a shift, for example. This might be really helpful. Second one would be closing the knowledge translation gap. In other words, shortening the lag between new evidence and implementing said evidence in medical practice. And third one would be learning more about the EM mindset. And I think this is the most important one, especially in countries where emergency medicine is not well developed. People don't know what emergency medicine is, and all the content in the FOMED world about EM mindset is really, really helpful to understand how the specialty works. So, Dr. Cabrera, what are your favorite specific online resource suggestions for medical students? Do you think they all fall into these categories? What do you think?
You know, the content in FOMED is fairly diverse, which is a strength more than a weakness. And it's also quite organic. There's no overarching authority trying to figure out, you know, what needs to be published or what should not be published and who's going to do it and when. This is a great tool. And that, I think, that's a strength because you can have multiple perspectives and multiple perspectives of the same issue. And as you mentioned, Lucas, there's multiple, you know, types of FOMED or types of resources, you know, point of care when you're busy in your shift trying to figure out a particular piece of content. One that comes to my mind is, for example, the electrocardiogram library from Life in the Fast Lane. Kudos to Mike Cadogan and Chris Nixon and all the team for that fantastic resource. Also, you mentioned closing the gap, the knowledge translation gap, and I think the one that stands out is the SGEM, the Skeptic Guide in Emergency Medicine by Ken Milne, which is probably the jewel of the crown in terms of content and knowledge translation. And about the EM mindset, there's so many excellent resources. That a few that comes to my mind is EM Docs, run by Britt Long and Alec Kaufman, Rebel EM by Salim Rosassi, St. Emblems by Simon and his team, First 10 EM by Justin Morgenstern. And the other one that we'll add, a fourth one, is especially for medical students who are interested in education and academic emergency medicine, is Michelle Lin's, the very first and probably the best blog about academic emergency medicine, which is Academic Life in Emergency Medicine. Academic Life in Emergency Medicine has so much content and so many resources and so many programs. That is a website that every medical student interested in emergency medicine should know quite well.
Thank you, Dr. Cabrera. We will be linking these blogs in our show notes. Could you also tell us, Dr. Cabrera, 5 tips for social media users?
Thank you, Ellen, for this. I think there's more than 5 tips, and I'm just going to do ad lib a little bit. The first tip I will say is, if you're going to use FOMED, try to create a professional account, a professional social media account, for 2 reasons. One, because it's, in practicality, it's easier to curate content if you use one account that is only related to medical knowledge or FOMED. And also, I will recommend for all medical students who are active in social media to keep this account professional in terms of your behavior. These accounts are public, and although there are some recommendations from court in the United States, at least, that you should not look at the medical students' applications, and so the medical students in social media, the truth is, you know, people look at this. So my recommendation is to create a professional social media account to access to all this content. Number 2 is, there's multiple tutorials out there how to use Twitter for medical education, and Facebook for medical education, and even Reddit for medical education. I think it's worth to spend a few minutes reviewing them. Number 3, in terms of access to all this content, I think it's important to start following people who is influential in social media and medical education. And the reason is, it's not because it's important to have eminence-based opinions or follow a rock star in medical education. The reason to follow these people who is important is because they have what is called a network effect. So because they're notorious within the group, they have multiple connections, and this connection can lead you to other people. So it's just following a path of a network analysis, so to speak. Going back to what I said earlier today, it's important that while using FOMED, not to forget the basics. And unfortunately, the basics are not represented strongly in FOMED. So remember to spend some time reviewing the foundational concepts of medicine and emergency medicine. Next thing is, like everything in life, I think you need to have discipline. And all of the key thing about social media-based education or digital education is you can access them in your free time or your spare time or your downtime, and when you're running or when you're doing some working in your garage or when you're cooking. It's important to develop a discipline in terms of what I need to learn and when I'm going to learn it. So if you realize that you don't know a whole lot about airway or sepsis, you need to develop some sort of curriculum, at least in your mind, to do so. And last tip is, I think you need to be quite skeptical about the content out there. And I will say this, you need to be skeptical about the content in social media, but also you need to be skeptical about the content in traditional media. There's multiple bias and there's multiple issues in the way we create knowledge. And these are true for social media, and also they're true for traditional media. So you cannot change your practice, or you cannot start doing a procedure because you just read in one blog post or in one podcast that this thing is the best thing since sliced bread. You need to be quite skeptical, and you need to discuss it with people who has more experience than you. Because, you know, if you've done this for a while, you may see this pendulum swinging one way or the other, and you realize that, you know, there's many ways to skin the cat. And you realize that, you know, what maybe appeared the panacea today, in a few more years, is probably going to be forgotten. So you need to be skeptical, including of what I'm telling you right now.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Cabrera. I'm going to run through some quick takeaway points. So number 1, very important to keep our online footprint professional. Number 2, this is great about tutorials about how to connect with social media and medical education. I wish I had sort of that organized approach when I was just starting this out. Connect with leaders in med ed because they can sort of amplify your voice and you can kind of learn about who else to follow by connecting with these leaders. Don't forget your basics. Have discipline about your own curriculum. Have an understanding of your own knowledge gaps. And a bonus point, point number six, be skeptical, including of this podcast. And I have found that downtime on shift, whether you're waiting for CT scan results or lab results, is a really good time to discuss a new FOMED article that you've read with one of your mentors that you're working with.
That's great, guys. I just want to make one comment. It's really hard to be skeptical when it comes to listening to Dr. Daniel Cabrera. So to the listeners, don't forget to check out ISEM's website for Spanish and Portuguese FOMED translations, EM News, EMIC support, and a growing student opportunity database. We really encourage you to explore and share your favorite FOMED resources with us on Twitter. And please tweet us at ISEM13. So Daniel, to finish up, we would love to hear your final thoughts about such an important topic. And I have one specific question. What would you say to a medical student interested in emergency medicine who is new to online tools and social media?
It's a great question, Lucas, and I think I'm going to do a little bit longer answer than you expected. The first answer to your question directly is we need to understand that social media or digital media-based education is here to stay. But we should not approach digital education or social media education as an outcome by itself, as a destination by itself. What I foresee is going to happen relatively soon is social media education and digital education is going to be like electricity. And what I'm saying is the following. You know, we don't say that we have an electrical television. We don't say that we have an electrical fridge. We don't say that we have an electrical phone. We assume that those run in electricity, and we assume that the electricity is for granted. So what is going to happen in the short-term future is most of the curriculum, either your formal curriculum, your medical school or your residency, and your informal curriculum, which is the FOMED curriculum, it will be delivered by digital platforms, social media platforms, adaptive platforms, blockchain platforms, and so forth. So what is important for early medical students or in early residents is to understand that these platforms are not the destination. These platforms are just a way to be exposed, to acquire, and to be evaluated in terms of medical knowledge. So we need to have some sort of paradigm change right now, because we're still assuming that FOMED is the destination. And actually, it's not the destination. FOMED is just sort of like an operative system, so sort of like, you know, your iOS or your Windows. And there will be things that run on top of this. And those things will be the evaluations and the curriculum and the pedagogy and so forth. The other thing that's important, and in my work, I'm grateful that I have contact with many young people who are interested in emergency medicine, is when you're planning your future, both your short-term future and your long-term future in emergency medicine, it's important to understand that the way that emergency medicine looks now, and this is true for the United States, this is true for Canada, this is true for Brazil, this is probably true for South Africa, this is probably true for Asia, for Chile, is the way that emergency medicine looks right now is going to be completely different to the way that you're going to practice emergency medicine in 20 years from now. When you're finishing your training and when you're finishing your post-residency training, the way that emergency medicine is practiced, and of course the way that medicine is practiced, is going to be completely different. So my recommendation is, and my piece of advice for all of you listening to this, is in every step of your training, in every rotation that you have, you need to have two mindsets. You need to try to learn what you need to learn for the now and what you need to learn for the future. And what will help you for the future is try to acquire skills, try to acquire knowledge that is
translatable to other skills, meaning things like you need to learn and acquire leadership. You need to learn and acquire critical thinking skills. You need to learn and acquire collaboration skills. You need to learn and acquire communication skills, because those are the ones who are going to help you adapt to the way we will practice emergency medicine in the future, which we don't really know how it's going to look like. You know, some people may have some ideas. I may have some ideas, but it's going to be completely different of what looks like now. So it's important to be prepared for the now, and it's important to be prepared for the future.
Wow, those are some wise words indeed, Dr. Cabrera. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. And from my behalf in particular, it was really nice to e-meet you. And thank you as well to Dr. Ken Milne from the Skeptics Guides of the Emergency Medicine podcast for recording tips. And thank you to the listener.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and check out information about ISEM in the show notes. We would love to have you get connected with us or get involved. Daniel, thank you so much for coming today. It was great to record a podcast with you. Thank you, Aileen.
And thank you, Lucas.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias. Obrigado. Cheche.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Feeling good.